Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast. Here we interview successful people who are living a life filled with adventure, excitement, and fun. Learn where they've been. Explore where they are going. See what gets them out of bed in the morning. Find out what drives them. We will go through their lowest points. We will look at the opportunities and possibilities that are now presenting to them. Come on a journey of ignition. I'm your host, Leanne Blaney. For more information, go to ignitepodcast.com. Let's ignite. Jenny Marsden grew up in and around mining towns, moving frequently throughout both Queensland and Australia. She was always the different one. She had real challenges settling into life even as a young girl and was considered by her family to be a searcher. Jenny has had careers in hairdressing, finance, programming, web development, and most recently have been documenting her travels through her website chargetheglobe.com. While Jenny had travelled extensively for up to 3 month periods, her goal was always to travel with an open ticket and an open mind, so at around 47, she started saving, and after 3 years, she was off on her biggest adventure of all. Hi, Jenny. Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast.
Thank you.
I'm really excited to share your story, so shall we get started?
That'd be wonderful.
All right. Now, do you want to tell us a bit about where you are now? What's actually happening for you right now?
Right now, I think I'm probably juggling more balls than I should be. I'm a web developer by trade, so I'm kind of working doing that. And then I'm also actually in negotiation in the next few weeks with a fairly big solo travel website to do some to supply some information and do some trips for them. So I'm actually really excited about that.
Oh, it does sound exciting.
Hmm.
Do you want to tell us a bit about your story and where you've been to get to this point then?
I've kind of feel like I've been everywhere actually. I guess initially probably in my kind of younger life, my younger adult life, my husband and I travelled around Australia for, it took us 5 years, and we always kind of planned to do a big global trip. However, he is very, very business-based. He loves his work. He's right into it. And I've never had that. I just kind of work to earn money to go places. I've never had that kind of real like, oh my goodness, I have to do this. The only thing I've ever been really passionate about is traveling. So we did, like I said, we did travel in Australia when we were young. Then the plan was to stop, work, earn some money, and then attack the globe. But however, we kind of started a business, and then we moved again, and then we sold a business, and then we started another business, and life just kind of got in the way, really. I think it probably would have been a bit different today. However, I'm 52 now, so when I was kind of 30, it was really hard decision to make to actually try and appropriate some of our money just for something that I wanted to do. I mean, quite reasonably early on, Brad kind of fessed up that it wasn't something he just didn't want to travel with an open ticket. So I think I just felt maybe a bit guilty, but I just didn't feel like, and we didn't, you know, we were always kind of in, like I say, establishing businesses or working really hard or in the Northwest in the mines, or and I just never felt comfortable kind of taking, I think that was it. I felt like I'd be taking our money to do something I wanted. So it probably wasn't till I was about 45. And we, keeping in mind, we have traveled a lot, but our biggest kind of trip would be 2 to 3 months. I was about 45 and I just kind of thought, you know what, if I don't do it now, I'm not going to do it how I want to. And I'm not going to be able to do it how I want to. I just kind of bit the bullet and worked like a crazy person for years and saved a big chunk of money and, yeah, went away for, I ended up traveling for nearly 2 years. So, yeah, I've been home since December. So 7 or 8 months now. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that'd be huge, seeing a lot of different places. Did you go to many countries?
I did. Not as much as everybody thinks. Everyone's kind of going, oh, my God, have you got anywhere left? But I did very much discover quite early on how I travel is I really like to immerse myself. So I'm not really a country ticker. I don't kind of go, been there. I'm very much, I kind of tend to settle in for, 4 or 5 weeks if it's a small country, a couple of months if it's bigger. I mean, like I spent nearly 10 months in Africa.
Oh,
because
wow.
I'm living around Africa. And so, yeah, so I have done quite a few, but nowhere near the number that people think I should have.
Yeah, there's two different ways of doing it, isn't it? Some people travel to immerse themselves in the culture and just stay for a period of time. Others just want to go and tick off the different things they want to see in the different countries, isn't it?
That's it. And neither's, you know, right or wrong. It's it's just how you like to do it, yeah. I'm kind of very much, as much as I love to see places, it's the people that are always, it's always kind of, that's what your memories always come back to, is someone's helped you or you've laughed with someone, or yeah, that's kind of always the thing that tends to resonate with me. So I think hence why I tend to just kind of stay and find it. Sometimes I find it hard to move on because I'm really enjoying it and I'm like, oh, okay, I kind of need to, I'm gonna run out of money. But yeah, I think that's just this what I like, what I enjoy.
Yeah, oh, lovely. So what about change? When you've made changes in your life, did you have actual tipping points?
You know what? I think slowly, I have for sure. I think slowly rather than actual kind of like this day I've gone, right, you know, that's it. Like I say, it's more, and I think it's a maturation thing as well. I think as I got older and I kind of matured, I realised that I was just as entitled to do the things that I wanted to do as Brad was to do the things that he wanted to do. And I think also realising that it wasn't, our relationship would absolutely survive me doing what I wanted to do. I think that was, you know, like when I was young, it wouldn't have. There's no way. But I think just because you don't have that life experience, you don't have that level of trust. So I think it was primarily as I got older and I kind of knew that no matter what I chose to do, Brad was always support me and help me and be there and run everything while I was away. So I think it was more an evolution than like kind of I woke up one day. I do remember that like a physical, if I don't do this now, I'm not going to do it. But I don't think that was a specific day. I think it kind of just evolved that I finally realised what I was thinking.
What about challenges? Like when you said you had to, you know, madly save up and for the money and that so you could go away, what sort of challenge did you have that, you know, made you think, well, is it all worth it or should I just throw in the towel?
You know what, I think once I had about $20,000 in my account, I was fine then. I was on a mission. But I worked so many hours. It wasn't unusual for me to work 70-hour weeks for weeks on end. On one hand, I was very fortunate because my assistant at work had a very difficult pregnancy and then had a year off of maternity leave. So I literally just picked up her hours. We had the company I was working for, we had a proprietary system. So it's a custom-built system. So to actually teach anybody to use it was probably 3 months of my life that would have put me another 3 months behind. Mm. So I was very fortunate in that regard. Is they didn't care. It's like they paid me every hour I worked. So as long as the work was done, they didn't care who did it. So that was really great. However, the downside to that was I just must have been hideous to live with. I was so tired. I have a kind of chronic fatigue, which is managed very well. But that's the kind of thing that really tips it over the edge. And I had a few kind of close calls. My doctor kind of went, yeah, pull your head in. But it was kind of like looking back now, I realized how tired I was and how hard it was. You know, I've never worked in an industry where I've made good money. And, you know, as an adult, you still have your home loan and, you know, you still have your life insurance and your health insurance and your car payments and everything that just goes on. You don't have those things when you're 20. So it's, well, you know, nothing important. So it was kind of, I think not just saving but actually making sure that it wasn't all up to Brad while I was gone. So I think I had about $12,000 or $15,000 that I left in our joint account, literally for things like car and motorbike registrations, insurances and stuff that I just didn't feel comfortable, you know, leaving to Brad, to him to have to take it out of, you know, what he was earning while I was gone.
Mm. What about, you know, when you sort of think about, okay, I've had these challenges, what kept you putting one foot in front of the other though? Like you said, you had chronic fatigue and you said you've, you know, long hours in it. What kept you putting that one foot in front of the other?
Brad, definitely Brad. I mean, he believed in me and he knew, you know, he's my whole life. That's what the only thing I've ever wanted to do was just go off with an open ticket. And he was so supportive and really, really also worked really hard to make it as easy for me as he could. Tourator have a great website. There's all this inspiration. Mm-hmm. And, every lunch I would be like looking at the cenotes in Mexico in my lunch hour, or I'd be looking at, hiking in the Dolomites, I literally would just keep going back to any website I could find that had great travel stories, thinking, yep, that's going to be me. So, yeah.
So now that you've achieved that goal that you had in mind, you were sort of, dogged with the way that you went about doing it and getting the money and to go away. Do you have another goal that you're just sort of working towards?
I do. I don't think it's realistic in that. I don't mean this from a lack of confidence point of view, but I don't really fit in a real kind of travel niche. I'm not like 20 and glamorous and, Chanel's not going to sponsor me. I'm like a 52-year-old woman in comfortable shoes who travels like a backpacker. So I would love for my website and my travel to just not necessarily pay for itself, but I'd like, to have some level of assistance that I could do a couple of trips each year, not entirely out of my own pocket. But to be honest, I can't see that ever happening. I don't know, in everywhere I've gone and all the people I've met, I can think of two people that are probably travel like I do, that kind of travel, grassroots travel at my age, but have the money to spend if you want to do something. I always kind of use that principle. I try and travel as cheap as I can, but if it's $400 to get up at the crack of dawn and cycle somewhere to see the sunrise over some canyon in, the Congo, yeah, I'm going to do that. And that's the difference I find, is that the people I meet that budget travel, they won't do those things because they don't have the funds. Whereas being older and having a career that I can do work on the road, I find that I kind of fit in a couple of different boxes. So I don't feel like I'm ever going to actually get any real kind of sponsorship through my website. But I do get little things, and I am asked for kind of reviews and that now again. And like I say, I'm in negotiation at the moment with a solo traveler website to maybe go and do a few stories for them, which would be great. So yeah, long term, I would love for my website to pay for me to travel for 6 months of the year, but realistically, I know that's not going to happen.
You never know what's around the corner though, do you?
No.
So talking about that, have new possibilities opened up for you from your travel and what you're actually doing?
Yes, I actually had someone suggest to me the other day that maybe I could actually do like annual trips, like as a kind of organise my own trips for people to join me. I have the biggest commonality I see amongst people when I talk about traveling is particularly women, and women that are kind of around my age, is everyone tells me I'm so brave. Oh, I'd never do that. I'd be too scared. Oh, you're so brave. And I'm like, it's not rocket science and it's not hard. And in today's world, you've always got a phone. There's always someone next to you that has a phone. If you don't, I don't consider it to be anywhere near as scary as a lot of people do, but I have had a few people mention to me that, if I was, going somewhere, they'd pay to come. So that is something I'm considering, actually. Yeah, I'd like to do a little bit more of I haven't done really hardly any of the Pacific region with Samoa and Tahiti. And so I'm considering kind of putting that out into the ether for next year and seeing if people want to join me. And maybe that's a way that I can just fund my own trip. And I have had quite a few things come in through my website about doing reviews and what have you, which I initially was like, oh, that kind of is a bit boring. but I think I've kind of realized that you've got to do the little things like that to make the big things work. So yeah, that's another option.
Yeah, well, that definitely sounds exciting. So that's one of the exciting things for the future. What else is out there that's exciting for you?
I think I'm actually quite Relieved is probably not the right term, but I think I understand now that I don't feel that desperate need to just be gone and to just be seeing something new every day like I have for the last kind of 30 years. I feel like I'm very comfortable now in planning a month-long trip and, you know, heading off to Nigeria for the Mars Festival in July, and just, you know, I'm really comfortable with spending the money to do shorter trips. Brad is also a lot freer now than he used to be. And while he can't do like endless kind of time, a month or 6 weeks is very easy for him to do now. He's kind of set up his business. While I was away, he came and did every 3 or 4 months, he'd do a month with me. And it was, you know, he joined me for Spain. He joined me for some of the Caribbean. I can't remember where else now. Canada, a few things like that. So he now realizes that his business runs pretty well without him. He's put in the hard yards and set that up. So I'm really looking forward to being able to travel with him a bit more as well. So that's pretty exciting for us.
Oh, definitely. I love that. That's a great idea for him to do that too.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he loved it. And, you know, he got to do all the fun stuff without doing any work. So,
yeah, exactly. All right, let's have a change in pace and do the speed round. What's your favourite book?
A Man Called Ove. And if you haven't read it, you have to. It is so funny. I read it on a truck in Africa, and I literally had that, you know, you have that, those times that you're laughing so hard and everyone wants you to tell you what you're laughing at, but you can't read it because it makes you worse. I had like whole 10 minutes of just, you know, like tears rolling down my face. And yeah, it's one of the most, it's a by a Swedish author, I can't remember his name, but it is brilliant.
Oh, I'll have to look that one up, definitely. Who's a mentor figure that's helped you the most?
I think probably Brad, actually. He, once I had committed to save and to do my trip, he committed just as hard and, you know, helped me with money. And, you know, he's always buying boats and selling boats, and, you know, he would sell something and if he sold something and made a profit, half of it went into my travel account. He supported me while I was away. I left a 13-year-old dog at home when I left, and I was, you know, she was my best friend and I was not sure I was coming home to her. And, you know, and there were times where I thought she died. I thought that he just hadn't told me because he didn't want to upset me. So it wasn't until I came home and she was still here. But, you know, things like that, you know, he just made sure. And he goes away, he races his boat, he goes away, you know, 4 or 5 times a year, but he always made sure there was someone in the house with Miss Monroe, and he just, yeah, paid all the bills and just did all the grunty stuff that I just completely abandoned to go bluffing around the world.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love it. Do you have a daily ritual that works best for you?
I'm the master of let's see what happens. When I work, I do, yes. I have to kind of plan my workout fairly solid because I'm normally trying to integrate client contact and stuff like that. However, just on a day-to-day basis, my sister and I did the Camino while I was away, and we had this thing that we would do 10Ks before breakfast. So we'd get up and the first village we came to after we'd done 10Ks, that's where we'd have our coffee and croissant. And I just kept it going. So every day, every morning I get up and I think it's about 12 normally when I'm at home. But yeah, and I get up and I do 10Ks, and sometimes that 10Ks gets me home at midnight. Sometimes I'm just walking, you know, I just walk down to Burley Headland and back. But, you know, and mostly during the, you know, the regular week, that's what I do. And Brad joins me on the weekend. It's not unusual for us to get up and start walking, and then we'll get the bus somewhere, and then we might go to the markets and have breakfast, and then it's a 10Ks before breakfast with whatever happens after that.
Oh, I love that. That is so cool. Do you have a favorite food?
Instinctively, I want to say sushi, but that's, you know, it's like when people ask you your favourite movie, you know, you have a movie you tell people and you have your actual favourite movie. Instinctively, I want to say sushi, but Vegemite sandwiches. I'm not a bread eater at all, but a Vegemite sandwich on really soft bread with real butter, yeah, I can't.
Oh, it's nothing better, is there? Brings back my childhood.
Yeah, especially if you haven't been well. It's like, I need Vegemite.
Yes. Do you like the country or the city?
I don't think I could pick one. I love the cities, but I'm a mad hiker, which obviously normally puts me out in the middle of nowhere. So either doesn't matter, but mostly the beach. I love the coast.
Yeah, I'm with you there. What about a piece of advice to give to others to help them make change in their life?
The biggest thing is that I don't think it really matters what your goal is. You have to be prepared to make sacrifices to make it happen. And mostly if you do micro sacrifices, it's fairly easy to make it happen. My clothes will come from the op shop. I don't buy bulk coffees. I drink, light beer rather than wine because, and when I'm away, I rarely drink at all. It's just making the sacrifices that you need to make to achieve what you want to achieve. So there's no way you can't make it happen. You just have to decide what you want to give up to make it happen.
That's right. Great advice. Love it. All right. So last question. If you had a time machine, what would you go back and do differently or tell your former self?
I would say, if you have a goal that is, I feel like it's in kind of embedded in yourself. It's something that you think about all the time and you keep making excuses for why you can't do it or reasons. And because it doesn't have to be excuse, it can be a reason. Sometimes you just have to think about yourself and realize that you're not necessarily being selfish by committing to an action, to doing what you want to do. Because you're just going to make yourself miserable otherwise. I look back and I think I'm so fortunate that I have such a great relationship with my husband. We've worked very hard at it. I do look around and think, wow, we are very, very fortunate. However, I also think that I had probably 25 years of my life where I was probably 80% happy because I just couldn't. I wasn't strong enough to make myself stand up and say, no, this is what I want, because I don't think I ever believed that we would survive it. I think I had this really weird conception that, how can I say I want to take a chunk of our money and I want to go away for 2 years and I want to leave everything to you in the meantime. That just felt so selfish. It never felt like something I was comfortable with. And then one day I realized that I was making them miserable because I wasn't doing what I want to do. And I had to have faith in Brad and know that he was a better person than that. Like, I was like putting things on him that I shouldn't have. I was, assuming that, he wouldn't like that, or he wouldn't support me, or he wouldn't step up. And that was just so wrong. And so that's a bit of a regret I have, that I always had belief in him. I've always trusted him. And somehow I just buried that, thinking that, because I did do everything to run our lives, because he was always running a business, that he wouldn't be able to do it. And that's just it was ridiculous. So not only I needed to be a bit more selfish for myself, but I needed to have more faith in him as well.
Yeah, it's a big thing, isn't it? A lot of us think being selfish is a bad thing, but it can be a really good thing for us and for our families and whoever's around us.
Exactly. Yeah. And, I look around now and, all my friends say to me, like, A, I'm not working the hours I was, so they actually see me. But B, they all just say, I never noticed that, you weren't, kind of like cheering and what have you, but you're always laughing now. And I'm like, yeah, I am, because I'm not disappointed in myself anymore.
That is so awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much for your valuable time today, Jenny, and sharing your story. I really appreciate that. Would you like to give us the best place to contact you, and we'll end it there?
The easiest thing is probably just to go to my website, chargetheglobe.com, and you can find my Instagram or Facebook or contact me via my email through that.
Excellent. I can't wait to have a look. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Igniters, Jenny says she's a woman in comfortable shoes, the queen of the hashtag selfie fail, one of those crazies who has walked across Spain, whose hair is always unfashionably frizzy, and someone who at least once a day snorts coffee out her nose because the timing of reading a funny story and drinking never seems to quite work out. I love her sense of adventure. If you want to contact Jenny, go to her website, chargetheglobe.com. For a copy of my book, Balance, to help you find out what you want in this world, go to my website, leanneblaney.com.